welcome to the CWF Game Discussions Podcast. Today is Sunday, September 17th, 2006. I am your host, Jonathan Reinhardt, aka Raven. And today's podcast is very special. Normally, Sundays is a duo cast with our friend across the pond, co-host and owner of Warvault.net, Ingrid. However, today is something a little different. Today, we have gone ahead and we have a special guest co-host in an interview. It is my friend Steve. I've mentioned him on the podcast several times, and he is a member of the CWF Game Discussions podcast and blog staff. We went ahead and used some new equipment that we had acquired, and I've talked about it on our blog, and I went out. We used it at his house all the way down in Rockland, which is near Battleground Games. We discussed a couple items. In particular, we talked about our own Tale of X Gamers, and we postulated on the Games Workshop's Codices or Army Books and the whole Flavor of the Month approach. As such, we have changed the format a little bit for today. Normally, I know we break things up. I do this little intro. You get to hear some talk, and then we talk about an issue, break that up with a sponsor. And then we talk about a second issue, I do a little promotion for someone, we have some closing comments, and etc., and our exit theme. However, today, we are going to be talking about some stuff first, go into the interview, which lasts about half an hour, and then after that, we'll be having closing comments and some brief administrative roundup. So just want to let you know how things are going to go. As always, I want to remind you that you can find our show notes and updates and all sorts of stuff on our blog. It is the CWF Game Discussions blog. And if you go there, it's at wargamingforums.com. You can find all sorts of stuff there. And just check it out. We have updates for our Tale of X Gamers and all sorts of stuff. And we talk about new equipment we get and whatnot. So check it out. Also, I want to once again mention that our sponsor for our podcast is Akko Hosting, and they have web hosting plans that start at just $355 a month. They're a great web host. We're hosted with them. I am the sales department manager there. Recently we got our very own War Vault signed up. Also, I know for people who do web hosting and get hosted for their websites, they're very concerned about downtime. I know that no host can say they have no downtime at all, but in my entire time with Akko Hosting, several years, I've never once experienced any downtime. They've been 100% uptime for me. So check them out. They're affordable. They got great plans, great staff. They're always there to help you if you need help with anything. And just go and give them a shout out. Tell them that I sent you over, and chances are, if you go and you have some questions and use their online live help, you might end up talking to me. In each of our shows, we promote some sort of podcast or a blog or an online, you know, community forum or something that deals with gaming. And we varied it a lot throughout our different casts. However, today, in light of the content of the interview with Steve, we will be promoting the Battleground Games website. It's a website for Battleground Games located down in Abington. It's a great, great store. I strongly recommend that you go and that you check them out. They are incredible. I know you will thoroughly enjoy them. So definitely just give them a check. Go check our show notes and you'll find the link and go and visit them. You're going to enjoy it. I know you will. I'm there, you know, at least once a week now, and Steve's there all the time. You can go say hi to Derek, and just great place to game, a lot of great people. It's incredible. At this point, I'm going to chime in our interview with Steve, well, my interview, that is, in discussion, and so listen for that. That was recorded earlier today, so if it sounds a little bit off, I do apologize. It was using our new field equipment, my first time using the field equipment, so just give it a check. Listen to it. We postulate about some things. I think it's really interesting. I think we're funny. So listen, and when the interview is over, we will be cluing you back in to the rest of our podcast. Thanks, and here's our interview.
So
So, welcome today to the CWF Game Discussions Podcast. We're out in the field today at my friend Steve's house in his basement, and this is our first podcast in the field using the brand new equipment that we recently acquired. I know that we were supposed to have a podcast this past Thursday, and if you go to our website, you'll see why that was not so. And I also know that I promised that we'd potentially have one done yesterday on Saturday, which also did not happen. But today is our regularly scheduled podcast, and as I said, we're having a very special guest. It is my friend Steve, and today we're going to be talking about something Steve knows a lot about, so I'm just going to let him start on off.
All right. Hello, all listeners. My name is Steve Daniel. I'm an avid friend of John's. We met at our college, Curry College, my alma mater. I thought we'd be talking about something, a program John and I came up with that we've been posting on the boards called Hill of X Gamers. And the way it works is you have X amount of money, and you're trying to establish either a Warhammer 40,000 or a Warhammer Fantasy Army. In my case, I'm trying to establish a Howling Griffins Army. And so far, I think it's looking pretty good. I can turn my head right here and look at my painting shelf. And I got a whole about one attack squad and a quarter of a attack squad done for 40k Howling Griffins, and I got a Grandmaster and a Librarian done. Once I have enough models significant to fill up my camera, I have a disposable camera I purchased. I'll get it digitized and I'll be able to put it up on the board so everybody can take a look at the progress I've done so far.
And as all of you know who've been listening to the podcast and checking out our blog at wargamingforums.com, you know I have two armies going. I'm collecting a Chun King's army, which I bumped up to 2,000 points for Warhammer Fantasy, and I am also finishing off my Tau for 40k. We, as always, encourage you to join the Tale of X Gamers. It doesn't matter what system you play. You can play 40k or Fantasy, Confrontation, War Machine, you name it, from Thrones of War on down to War Gods of the Aegyptus. And it's really easy and simple. When you go on our blog, you'll see under the categories on the right, you can pick Tale of X Gamers, and if you click on that, you'll be able to go in and see all our rules and everything. And they might sound like a lot, there's like 10 or so, but they're really basically like, you know, post once a month, you can't spend more than X amount of dollars each month. Have fun, really stupid yet simple things like that, and we did all the work so you don't have to do as much. You just have to buy the stuff, assemble it, paint it, and then game.
Yep, that's all you have to do. And the have fun part, man, I've been having a lot of fun. I mean, if any of you are avid 40k players out there and have ever seen the Howling Griffins Space Marine chapter, not exactly the easiest chapter to paint.
No, that quartering looks pretty difficult with the red and the yellow.
It's quartering. For those of you who are unaware of this, the Howling Griffins chapter, kind of think Victorian knights or British knights who quarter the banding on their horse to represent their house colors or their home colors. In the Howling Griffins case, and which means that half the armor is one color, half the other, then they alternate it on the other side.
It kind of reminds me for Fantasy, you know, like Men-at-Arms for the Empire. You might have, say, green on the left shoulder and green on the right leg, and then you might have white on the right shoulder and white on the left leg. Or you might just kind of mix everything up, or just split them in half, do like a red on one side and blue on the other.
In Fantasy, they do it with Praetorians, with the Knights of Praetorians. A lot. I've seen it done a lot, especially with different colors, because the knights they come from all different countries.
The heraldry for those models alone, just even on the horses, never mind the actual knight models, is so intense, and you have to have a ready, steady hand and attention to detail to paint them really well. And I think the same is true for the Howling Griffins.
My Howling Griffins, they believe, look, fluff-wise, story-wise, the Howling Griffins believe they are knights in space. So they decided that they'll keep the heraldry of their Primarch. Unfortunately, I do not have enough information to figure out who that is. I am being led to believe by some sources that Primarch, their founding member, is the Primarch of the Ultramarines. I'm not sure.
I've actually heard that, because I've heard they're a second or a third founding based off of the Ultramarines chapter.
I don't know if that's true, but that's just a rumor I did hear.
That is a rumor I've also heard, John. And these guys are, they use normal rules. I've seen people decide to use other variants of Space Marine special rules, such as Trust Your Battle Brothers, in which they'll have True Grit. And I'm not aware of the one off the top of my head, but the one that allows them all to infiltrate. But to me, I can see Trust Your Battle Brothers, but Alan Griffin's infiltrating doesn't seem too knightly to me, John.
No, nor to me. I have to say, I'm not very up to date with 40K. I'm more of a fantasy kind of guy. I prefer fantasy. I think it's a better game overall, but 40K is a great, fun, and quick game to play.
Very simple.
And with the Howling Griffins, it seems it's like an opportunity to play a vanilla army that's not Smurfs.
Yeah,
it gives you a little bit of a challenge, especially if you like to paint. I know you are an avid painter, Steve. You spend a lot of time doing it at your shows. Right now, I'm looking at one of your models. It's a Grandmaster, is it?
Grandmaster, yep.
And
Grandmaster.
The highlights on him are intense. On his cape, they really, really stand out. On the lightning claws that you gave him, they just pop.
Yeah, they pop. I did that. I did it that way on purpose. I really wanted him to stand out. I put about 1 day's effort into this one, like, 2-inch model just so it would look spectacular on both the battlefield and in display purposes.
If any of you are ever around the South Shore of Massachusetts and you're in Abington, there's a great store that I've mentioned repeatedly over and over and over and over, both on the blog and the podcast, Battleground Games. And when you're down there, go and ask whoever happens to be working if Steve's around. And he's usually there, and they'll say, hey, he's over, you know, wherever. Probably find him with a paintbrush in his hand. And say, hey, I was listening to the podcast, you know, the other day, and you guys are talking about the X-Gamers and your Howling Griffins. Could I see what they look like? And I know Steve would be more than happy to show them off. He's been doing that with a lot of the regulars there. And people, from what I've heard, said that they feel the models look too dirty. But I disagree. I mean, 40K is called a gritty universe. And, you know, if you're in battle all the time, I don't care, you know, how much time you think your armor needs to be shiny.
We were
not going to be like, hey, sorry, Necron,
stop shooting at me.
To clean off my knee pads because I got a little dirt on them from crawling around so you wouldn't blow my head off.
Exactly. The Howling Griffin's fluffies are notorious for keeping their armor spit polished and spit shine. But they're not monk. They're not going to stop in the middle of a battle just to clean off a speck of dirt that splashed up on their armor from a gun. No, that's not how it works.
No. And, you know, it just, I think they work. But if you're ever South Shore, are you ever around, or if you see photos when they get put up on the blog, judge for yourself. And then, you know, let us know. Send us some feedback. You can find out how from the blog. There's a contact us and it's like a staff page. It goes and has that contact information for everyone involved with this project. And you can say, hey, I want to send an email to Steve, or I want to IM John, or I want to, you know, shoot a private message to Ingrid, or whatever, and say, hey, I saw those Howling Griffins, and I love them, they're awesome, but man, they suck, I can't believe you did that, you're just miserable, you need to kill yourself, or don't go that far, but you get what I mean. And, you know, judge for yourself, because a wise person once said, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and, you know, look, behold, and judge, and, you know, send feedback, but if you're going to say anything mean about them, try to be constructive. We like constructive criticism.
Yeah, I always accept constructive criticism on my models. John, he needs constructive criticism on my Grandmaster, and I actually looked at my Grandmaster and I said, you know what? John's right, and I fixed it, and John thinks it looks even better now.
Absolutely, and, you know, I'm one who's not shy about saying what's on my mind, and sometimes that's not the best of things, but overall, I find it helps to be honest, and, you know, you need to be honest, too. Whether it's with this or, you know, whatever, if just your friends are gaming and you think, oh my god, his army is so cheesy. He used like 18 basilisks, or his models look like crap. I can't believe he hasn't even painted them yet, which would be me because I never paint any of my stuff. But, you know, tell the people that. And if they don't respond well, then they don't respond well. But at least that's where you get it out there. Otherwise, you get bottled up and it's just not good.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, that's a little bit about the Total X Gamers and a little bit about Steve's Army. I've been posting extensively on my blog, on our blog rather, about my true armies. There's a lot more posts for my King Kings than there are for my Tau. But I'm going to be updating the Tau postings because yesterday Steve and I played a team game versus some people down at Battleground.
Locals at Battleground.
We lost, but it was a close game.
It was a very close game. If John didn't have to leave, we could have had another time to try to pull ourselves out.
Unfortunately, I don't think that would have helped.
I think it
would have been closer, but it's been, two years, I think, since I played 40K?
A year and a half. I was the last person we played.
And I literally had to find all my Tau, dig them out, dust them off, fix them all, and play. I forgot all the rules and everything, and I suffered about, 40-45% casualties?
Yeah.
It stung when...
But for some reason, I lost next to nothing.
I know, you had a ton of guardsmen, and you took casualties, but it wasn't the same. Like, an entire crisis team of mine was wiped out, I lost both my crew squads, and it just kind of vicious, but it was cool, because it got to play, and it kind of re-energized me for Caleb X Gamers, so I'm going to be updating that with a little bit more information from the battle. It's not quite a battle rep. Report, rather, but going to have a little more.
Speaking of that, I've actually been a little slow on posting. The reason for that is you got to keep in mind, once you do see the Howling Griffin, you're going to go, oh, that's why it's so slow. It's the paint job, ladies and gentlemen. I am taking my sweet time with you guys, and it takes a very, very long time to make them look decent. So, pretty much, if you look at my half the Tales of X game, which are my Howling Griffins, Nothing has changed. I'm still working on those two cat squads. Why? I want them to look fantastic, and which is hard because their armor is yellow and bright red.
Not the easiest colors to work with,
and I am layering up from brown. I've been doing painting for about 9 years now, and I picked up a few tricks on how to paint from some good friends of mine.
I bet if we were to ask kindly, Steve would be very pleased to make a posting on how he painted the Howling Griffins, and maybe do a step-by-step primer for those who may not know how to achieve the coloration of red or the yellow or where to start and how to end up. And that would be something to look forward for the future.
The key is, and I'll say this in the post, is finding a good neutral color to start with. And because I always prime black. I refuse to prime white. And everybody says, well, white makes it brighter. White makes those Howling Griffins.
It does.
When red look at. You know what? Black makes it look more realistic to me. I'm sorry, but...
It adds some shadowing right there.
It adds shading. It adds shadowing. But I'm sorry, but I don't think, even in our current military, that you can spit shine your boots from dusk till dawn. I bet it's within half an hour when you're on that battlefield, your boots are not going to be so shiny anymore.
That's true.
So, you can't... we can't be obsessive-compulsive and say the army looks better bright. Because you know what? To me, it doesn't. It doesn't look realistic bright. Everything. I don't care. It's only bright once it's shiny, once it's out of the box and in a package or on a shelf somewhere. Once you get it and you've had it for at least a minute, it's not bright and shiny anymore.
That's true.
Nothing is. Everything starts to wear and tear as soon as you get it in your hand. And you know what? To me, I would think the same thing applies to the 40th millennium, especially when they don't remember how to make their technology work, let alone clean it.
That's true. They're not the Tau. Mm-hmm. So at this point, you know, normally every podcast we kind of split things up and we talk about two different topics. And although this isn't a complete podcast, this is going to be inserted in the normal podcast. We'll have a little bit of beginning and end to, sandwich this. We do want to move on, and there's a couple other topics we want to talk about. Before we do, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, and I know I will mention this in the actual podcast, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our sponsor. They're Akko Hosting. You can get web hosting for them starting at $355 a month. Recently, you may not know, I'm the sales department manager over there, and I got War Vault signed up over with us. War Vault, as you know, is run and owned by Ingrid, and they have a great project going on. I'm going to do a little segue here and just mention that recently War Vault has had an interview with Andy Chambers, and they posted it online. War Vault is working with us. We're part of the War Vault project, and we hope to, down the road, I can't say when, but we hope to actually have a podcast interview with Andy Chambers to talk about games he's been involved with and things that he's done, and some people might say he's just a guy, Yeah, he is. He's a guy, British guy, living in L.A.
I have a big question for that man. What happened to the Space Wolves look?
Do you know what? You gotta save it and send it on into Ingrid, and I'm sure he can shoot it all along. So, just wanted to mention that. Be sure to check out our blog. We're located online at worldgamingforums.com. And there you can find the show notes for this, for our other podcasts, you can find our blog. And then you can also go and check out our sponsor, Arco Hosting. We have links to them in all our show notes. They're really, really affordable. They host us. You can't say any web host has no downtime, but I've never seen them have any downtime since I've been with them. It's been like 2 years. So they get 2 big thumbs up from me. Check them out. I'm sure you give them 2 thumbs up, too. And now at this point, I believe we were going to be talking about a recent, not so recent podcast that I did regarding the release dates for Games Workshop in regards to their codexes and army books.
And the effect, a lot of things that have been spreading around at Battlegrounds, Games, and Hobbies, where I go frequently, as John has just said previously, is new codexes, be it for Fantasy or 40K, have that big of an impact on the battlefield against codexes that are not even a month old. And looking at it, I think the answer is yes, they do.
I'd have to say before I even make a judgment on that, that you have to keep in mind, recently we just saw a total revamp, well not a total revamp per se, but a new edition of Fantasy. There have been several new Fantasy and 40K codexes and army books that have come out or will be coming out. Orcs and Goblins, Empire, Dwarfs, we've seen Tau Empire, we've seen the Summer Campaign one for 40K. I know I'm missing a couple others because I'm not totally up to date with 40K, but there's been some one new one for Lord of the Rings. They have 2 more planned for Lord of the Rings between now and 2007. There's a whole slew for Fantasy, a ton for 40K. There's 3 Chaos ones planned between now and 2007 for 40K. And if you look at that, you realize Games are kind of doing a flavor of the month kind of thing.
Yeah, they're doing a flavor of the month. And the problem with that going on is, for the longest time, the Space Marines had a codex. And it wasn't changed until, I think, last year.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, people would be like, Marines. I hate to tell you, the Marines weren't doing good all that time. They were getting suffered hard. Because the newer armies had stuff that could deal with Marines.
Look, when they redid Chaos, totally owned all the other codices because they had all these extra options for war gear. You could choose all these different marks, and they made it more accessible. They gave you more options.
More demons.
Absolutely. And then when Black Templars came out, everyone was like, ooh, Black Templars, a special ordering, advanced ordering, buying everything, assembling, picking up, playing. A month later, they're stopping because why? Another army comes out.
Yeah, I've only seen the Black Templars in action once, and it was ridiculous. It single-handedly ruined a mega battle I was participating in at Battlegrounds. The gentleman brought his Black Templars. I was a Marines also, so I was on his team. It was supposed to be Marines versus Orcs during the Great Crusade. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that.
I would think the Orcs could lose. Marines versus Orcs, you take some heavy bolters, flamers, and they should be gone.
Well, the Orcs, they got choppers. They turned the Marines' biggest advantage into nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They turned Marines' armor into nothing, and they were supposed to have a Gargant too. Orcs had a Gargant.
Okay, that's
but
not
we
good.
We also had a Thunderhawk on our side, which successfully blew up the Gargant. But we're not going to go into those kind of details. My point is, those Black Templars were wasting Orcs left and right with some absurd rules I've never seen in my life. Because I've never come across Black Templars until that one mega battle, with the new edition anyway. And he had all this absurd stuff out there. He had some kind of High Marshal special character.
Oh, yeah, and Hellbrick or something like that.
And he was just wasting the battlefield, like single-handedly taking on Orc War Bosses, crushing his retinue. And I'm not talking an Orc War Boss on foot with, a couple boys. I'm talking about an Orc War Boss in mega armor with a couple, 10 boys in mega armor. We're talking about heavy-duty War Boss HQ here.
That's vicious.
And he took them out with a few other tax squads, like they were nothing. And I'm like, how in God's name did this happen? I was just using my usual army, which is Dark Angels. They're not getting a codex update for a while, and...
They might not even be getting one.
No, they...
Based on the rumors I've been hearing, because it's possible that the Pirate Eldar are going to be getting their own codex, and that either them or Blood Angels might be coming instead of Dark Angels, but it's not 100%. But I agree with you.
Yeah.
I remember back when the Tau came out, not Tau Empire, but when the Tau first came out, you know, they redid them and they made a brand new army. Oh, look at us. We're like an anime mech Tau thing, the communist with some Indian influence, and we shoot. That's what we do. We're just going to shoot you. And I was like, cool, an army that shoots, so I picked it up. And whenever I play, I would own because I would shoot and I'd shoot and I'd shoot. And, you know, I take broadsides. Talking AP1 rail guns that you can basically shoot the entire length of the table no matter what way you do it. And shot. Bam! Damn. There goes that tank. There goes this tank. There goes a unit.
Yeah.
And they just owned. But then when the next army came out, they owned. And I got to say, you know, yeah, it seems like, you know, I think it definitely is a flavor of the month. And it does seem like whatever newest army is out that owns. But I have to say, I think it would be that way no matter what, because whenever they come out with a new army, a new codex, they're going to have the newest rules, they're going to have whatever's been brewing in the game developer's mind, and any, you know, errors that they have saw in rules or previous codices for that army or other armies, they're going to fix it. And this, so obviously they're going to have the advantage, because they're the newest, they've had the benefit of all the mistakes from everyone before them, so when the next one comes out, they're going to have the benefit of the mistakes from what used to be the newest.
Now, the only
way I think to get around it, and it actually sits in kind of like what Private Press has done, is you come up with the rule book, and that's it. You slowly release the models afterwards, and then when you're ready to do a new release of the rules, you do a whole new one, and you do it all at once. You don't stagger everything. And if Games Workshop was to do that, I know it's difficult to get codices out for every single army out that they have. I'm not even talking about chapter specific or, you know, variants or whatever. Get a Tau Empire one out. Get Marines one, an IG, get a Chaos Marines or whatever, and come up with them all at once. And then, you know, like 2 years from then, you come up with the next one.
Exactly. On the flip side of the coin, with that, is after I looked at Privateer's Press with War Machine, I said, I literally made this name, this noise, ugh. Why? Because I'm now looking at new beautiful models and new powerful models that now I'm going to have to add to my Signar unit to keep them updated. Because Privateer Press is moving a little too quickly for my taste. That's the one problem they're doing.
They're on what, their third rulebook?
They're fourth.
They're on the fourth?
They're on their fourth rulebook within, what, 6 years?
I think you're right. I'm still back on the first one. I got to pick
and
up the second.
I think they're moving a little too fast for the pace, especially with these new books and the mono releases. I think if they waited like every other year for a new release, that would work a lot better. And if GW did that, man, we eliminate this whole problem altogether.
I have to agree in regards to the rulebooks, not so much with the models. I'd be okay with them taking, you know, some time with the models and say have a new model come out every couple months, but not so with the rulebooks. Like, I think rulebooks every year and a half. And, you know, if you look at, say, Battle Front Games, they do Flames of War, they're just now getting to late war. They started off with the mid-war for World War II, and they did everything you can think of for that, from Europe, Africa, to Asia, to, you know, invading Russia and stuff, and now they're just getting to late war, and then they're going to go back and do early war. They've been doing Flames of War for, what, five, six years,
seven,
about the same time as War Machine, I think, or
yeah,
a little bit beforehand,
more,
and they're just now getting to the second phase, because they divide the war up into three phases, early war, mid war, and late war, so they're just getting to late war now, which is the second phase they tackled 6 years after they started.
In my opinion, they're doing perfectly with their releases.
The models are fabulous, they're easily assembled, easily painted,
yeah.
They just came out with planes, people have been asking for them since they started. But
now
they just wanted to do it right.
I haven't played the game myself. I can't say I'm going to be picking it up. Why? I kind of have too much models with all the gaming I'm doing.
You're not really historical.
And I'm not a historical gamer.
I love Flames of War. I have stuff. I'm actually working on a Panzer company because I love tanks.
Yeah.
I'm German.
Yeah. But
you know, but it's awesome.
With the flavor of the month back on that, the one exception to the rule, I think, is the Orc Codex.
It hasn't changed since
it hasn't changed
third edition,
since,
has it?
Since we're talking
or
early 90s. It hasn't changed for at least 15 years.
Then that would have to be second, because I know it was the same for third edition roughly as fourth edition, and now, you know, what I call edition
book,
four and a half.
That
but.
Book can still compete with the best of them. Why orcs have some of the most ridiculous abilities and war gear?
I think when they made it, it was just they cared so much, like they had a lot invested in it, that they want the extra mile. Whereas with the other ones, now they have like deadlines. Oh, you start now, it has to come out 9 months from now. So I have to get all this done. We have to get all the models made, approved, mass released. We need plastics done for them, which take a long time. And we only have 9 months a year, however long it is. Whereas before, I think they were just like, hey, you want to do an orc army? Okay. Get it done, you know, whenever, and then we'll put it out. So they were kind of able to, you know, languish and move along at their own pace. So if they weren't feeling something, you know, that particular day, they could say, I'm going to table that, I'm going to play a game, and then maybe tomorrow I'll have some better ideas that I can do for it. But now they can't do that.
I think the other thing is, there may be a bit of a personal touching with the orcs. Because Andy Chambers didn't invent 40K, he was also the father of the orcs.
That's true.
So I think there might have been a little bit of a personal touch in there, and Andy wanted to make sure that the orcs could perform well anywhere, anytime, any day. And if that was the case, Andy, you did an excellent job. Orcs to this day slaughter my Space Marines, my brand new Space Marines in the new Codex, only a year old. They slaughter them like there's no one's business with those choppers. I don't even bother with Terminator armor. Can't bother.
It is definitely a big pat on the back that they've been able to endure this long. And, you know, I have to agree with what Paul had said yesterday. They need a new Codex. If nothing else, just because there's been so many changes. And, yeah, they have been able to endure. But you know what? There's tons of people who play them. Why not, you know, do something for the fans, for the customers, for the people who play the games, for people who come in and spend $20 for a single guy, and give them a new codex.
The problem is with the Orc Codex, is not because it's outdated. No. The Orc Codex is just fine. It's because the rulebook has introduced new rules that are making the Orc, that's making the Orcs suffer a little bit. The biggest one being a rule called escalation.
Oh, I hate that.
John, everybody hates this.
This is why I don't do mech tau.
I have yet to meet a person that thought this rule was a good idea.
Don't they make you do this in tourneys?
Yes. No, they don't. No.
I thought they did in some tourneys.
I have yet to be an attorney or see an attorney where this rule is enforced. And even if it is, it's not for the entire tournament.
Okay, because
maybe one of the three games you play in, it's going to happen.
I would not want to play this for a tourney. I would want to play it in a friendly game, and I'm very amiable.
The fluff for it, the story behind this particular rule is, let's make the game more exciting. Let's make it, you know, the bigger, nastier stuff comes in later, and the game gets bigger, funner, because all the nastier stuff is coming in later. You know what I have to say to that? The nastier stuff can't do its job if it's coming in later. It needs to be there at the beginning of the game.
I think they needed to, you know, hold off on that. And look at what they did with fantasy. They saw that most people were playing in fantasy pitched battles. Basically, if you don't know what that is, you set up your army on one side of the table, your opponent sets it up on the other side, and you just duke it out. You don't have any special capture of the objectives or any special crazy rules or whatever. You just have your army, they do what they do, and they know that's what people want to do. So maybe they should think about taking escalation out of 40K, putting it in a rider or whatever. Hey, we messed up, or, you know, it didn't play out as we thought it would have. We're going to alter it, or improve it, or remove it.
Yeah, I mean, even with flavor of the month, you know, that particular one rule almost punishes people who want to play mechanized armies. It's like saying...
It was kind of a reaction, perhaps, to Armor Company, though, because I saw how tough it was.
Armor Company, any army that wants to use transports, even Space Marines with a basic rhino, it's like Games Workshop saying, no, we don't want you to use these $50 model kits because we have this rule that makes you not want to use your $50 model kit.
And yet they want you to spend the $50 to buy the kit.
I mean, I don't know. I'm a bit confused. So
me too.
That's why I'm confused by this rule. And this came from a friend of mine, and he mechanizes his army, And
this wouldn't happen to be the one who used to be a redshirt, would it? We don't have to say his name on the
no,
to protect
no, no,
him,
no.
But
it's just an old friend of mine.
Okay.
I haven't played with him in a long time. But he's like, why am I being punished for wanting to have some tanks in my army? And that's one of the biggest things about 40K that you can't get in fantasy is the vehicles.
That's true.
People wanted the tanks. That's why people want to play the Imperial Guard. They want that Lumen Ross. People play Space Marines. They want the Land Raider.
My favorite model for the entire army is the hull that is used for Devilfish and for Hammerheads.
And
I think it is the best kit Games Workshop has ever made.
It's one of the best kits I've ever seen in my life. Before I saw the Devilfish kit, to me, the Falcon kit was one of the best.
Falcon was good.
It was so multi-purpose.
Or the Wave Serpent.
The Wave Serpent
is basically
it's
the
basically
same.
The same thing with a few changes.
Although they didn't
come
out with the Wave Serpent kit until recently.
This
beforehand,
is true.
You had to get the conversion kit from Forge World,
but
which was a big pain in the butt.
I thought it was a beautiful. I love the idea of a skimming tank that was so streamlined looking.
It's just so easy to assemble. Everything fits together perfectly, unlike a Space Marine Land Speeder, where you gotta, you know, all these gaps and you gotta use the rubber bands and stuff. With the Hammerhead model, you don't have to. It just fits together perfectly, and there's so many ways to customize it, such as the rear earth magnet, so you can swap out turrets and guns and stuff. They knew what they were doing, and it even has a detailed interior.
And the engines on the thing,
they're incredible. They move.
They move.
They're made to move.
They're made to move to show whether or not the thing has landed on the ground. You can invert them. And then, you know, you can't even play with it. I mean, personally...
Exactly. It went from being just a model kit to being a toy.
John knows this for a fact.
Steve loves his ships.
I love my ships.
He does.
When I got my hands on my first Devilfish, wasn't mine, I literally played with it like a kid. I was pretending to lift it off from the ground, move it, invert the engines, land it.
You should see him playing with his Thunderhawk.
Oh,
man, it's funny.
Oh, man, don't get me started on my Thunderhawk. That's not funny. That's not fair. That's not fair. That's a low one.
It's just funny. Zooming it around. It's cool because whether you're an actual kid, some 11 or 12 or 13-year-old kid just starting the game, or if you're like us in our 20s, or if you're like someone in their 40s or 50s, and you just want to pretend you're a kid, you can, and yet, you know what? Who's going to make fun of you? The guy across the table from you doing the same exact thing?
No.
I think not.
No, I mean, look at the movies. There's always, at least in every single military movie, there's that one general who's playing with the tanks on the table, and then one of his sergeants walks in, and the general just pretends he wasn't playing with those tanks on the table.
Look at the movie, what was it, Private Benjamin with Goldie Hawn?
Yes.
And they're doing the war games, and on the table, they have all the little figures on there, and
the general,
he's like moving them, he's like, ha ha, you're dead, Johnson.
Like, he was playing with it, I'm like...
Absolutely, you
and
see
then,
it.
And then his secretary, or whoever it was, sergeant, and walks in on him.
And he's like, whoa, we're nothing here.
Let's go. And then the general's like, oh, well, what are you doing? Why'd you knock on the door? That's procedure. You know? I don't care who you are. Like I said, that was I bet today, in the real world, I bet there is some five-star general sitting in the Pentagon playing with a fake airplane.
Sad thing is, we're probably paying them to do this.
Yes.
Actually, I think we are paying them to do this.
You know what? I don't care. I mean, that's my point. A grown man who leads the United States military is sitting in his office playing with a toy airplane. You know what I mean?
I completely agree. And, you know, what you gotta do is, we're giving you our opinion. You need to form your own. We're just a couple of guys who game and do stuff.
Yep.
But, you know, listen and think. And if you feel that Games Workshop's doing a good job with models such as Devilfish with rocks, tell them. And if you think, hey, your prices are pretty nasty and need to come down, or we hate this whole escalation thing, send them an email. Lord knows, I'm not afraid to do that. Way back when they first started to raise prices, I organized a large petition online, and I mailed it both to DWUS and DWK headquarters, and I sent it by email, and I'm not going to claim responsibility for the prices coming down, but, you know, not that long afterwards, prices started coming down.
Prices did come down.
I think, in addition to me doing this, a lot of other people were upset and complained. And the only way they're going to listen to whatever you do is buy the sales, whether you buy certain things and they say, hey, people like it, or whether you don't buy stuff.
Yeah, because I'm in retail. I work at a pet store. And we know that a piece of paper doesn't say a whole lot. You need to hear from the customer's mouth themselves. And I'll tell you what, that's what happened. We got one of the number one selling doggy toys. I know this isn't a gaming topic, but it's an example.
True.
We got the number one selling doggy toy in our store, and it sells like hotcakes. We got a bucket of it, this deep bucket, and it's now half there. It's
what is like, it, like a ball or something?
No, it's a long little wiener dog that they had on a commercial.
Oh, I saw those. Yeah.
That, because of that one commercial, that toy was the number one selling toy in the U.S.
There you go.
So you know what? We didn't see on paper that that was number one selling dog toy. We heard from word of mouth, from other other shopkeepers, customers who were looking for it because they said, you guys have that thing that we saw on TV? And we said, what thing on TV? So we finally figured out what it was. And we ordered a case of it. You don't need to order any more because they give you quite a bit in a case. And my lord, they're selling like no tomorrow. At least we sell these 4 a week because there's one, they're cute little toys, and two, everybody wants one. And the bucket's like half there now.
Yeah, see, so the point is, you know, your actions always speak louder than words, but do both because this is going to give them both barrels of the gun, and they're going to say, hey, people care enough one way or the other, whatever your opinion is, and they'll take notice if enough of us let them know. And yeah. I honestly think deep down they really do care. And they do want to know. People have said, you know, they don't care about the customer and so forth, and they've been accused of that. And maybe that's true, maybe it's not, you know, whatever degree. But I think deep down, no matter what, they want your feedback. And that's the same for us. We live and die by your feedback, so you got to let us know how we're doing. Otherwise, it's just, you know, a few guys talking into a microphone somewhere, whether it's me at home doing it by myself or me with Steve somewhere or online, Ingrid and I conversing from across the pond. We're just talking into our computers, and we're just saying, hey, this is what we think, this is what we're doing, so you have to let us know what you think. And that said, I just want to say that this has been one of our longer podcasts, and I do apologize for that. I like to keep them trim and short, but I want to thank Steve for co-hosting today.
Not an issue.
Normally, I do it with Ingrid, but there's been some issues that we're trying to fix.
Partly my fault. I'm a bit of a motor mouth when it comes to being on the air. I've had experience doing it, but I love to talk on the air about opinionated things and get them out there.
That's okay. I had a joy, and it was a pleasure co-hosting with you today. I know we're going to be doing it again. Hopefully, we'll be doing a podcast from Not Too Far in the Future. On site at one of the little gaming stores. I'm going to be doing one over at Danger Planet Games in October when the owner of Mongoose Publishing will be coming down to do a Q&A and do intro games for Starship Troopers Evolution. So I'll be Johnny on the spot. And, you know, we'll be doing other ones on site. And just want to thank you very much. And I hope you have a great day. We will be talking to you next time. Our next podcast is scheduled for Thursday. It's probably just going to be me, but we'll see. So thanks a lot and have a great day. Keep on gaming.
I hope you enjoyed that interview. It was a lot of fun to do a distance podcast. We did it all the way down at his house in Rockland. I live closer to Boston than he does. And it was about a 20-minute ride on the highway for me. It was nice traffic and stuff. And I had a chance to just, you know, hang out and talk. And it was fun. We're definitely going to be doing it again. Be sure to stay tuned to our podcast, this one and future ones, because you'll find out when we do special things like this. We will be doing some, you know, on-the-spot podcasts. I'll be doing one in Danger Planet in October when the owner and founder of Mongoose Publishing comes out to do a promo for Starship Troopers Evolution. He'll be doing Q&A and intro sessions. I want to thank you for listening to today's podcast. I know it's very different from anything that we have done before. This is the first time doing an interview on the air, so to speak. Let us know what you think. Let us know if you like the content, if you like Steve, if you like me, what we talked about, whatever. We need your feedback. If we don't have your feedback, we're just kind of in a vacuum here. It's, you know, a bunch of guys talking into microphones, into the computer, or into an MP3 player. It's, you know, Ingrid and I talking across the pond, or Steve and I just sitting around a table, whatever, just shooting the breeze. So we need to know what you like. We need to know what you don't like. We need constructive criticism. We need your feedback. So give it to us, and we'll listen. I promise we take all feedback seriously, unless it's, you know, a joke, in which case we take it hilariously. And If you ever want to send us feedback, you can always find out how in our show notes, which are on our website of wargamingforums.com. The show notes can tell you how to get to the contact us page, how to contact us. You can IM us, email us, talk to us on Skype, whatever. That's about it. I want to thank you for listening to the cast. I hope you have a great day, and I hope you have a great week. So, thank you, and keep on gaming. Thanks. Bye.